Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Lou Anne Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. Lou Anne, I'm hearing from a lot of my listeners on Grounded, and as I go to the Family Talk website and Facebook page, and it really feels like there are a lot of people concerned with the direction our country is headed in.
Well, it's not just those people, Ryan. I feel it myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, Doctor, even last time at the close of yesterday's program, we talked about the angst people are feeling with the direction our country is heading.
Well, Lou Anne and Ryan, I hear those concerns regularly. When I talk to people on the street or read the letters that people send to us, there is a sense of anxiety out there. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about America's economy or the unemployment rate or the value of homes going down. Those things are obviously of major concern. But there is also apprehension about children, mm-hmm. about boys and girls and their futures and the moral depravity that seems to be sweeping across this country. Mm-hmm. And Christian people in particular are nervous about that, yeah. and for good reason. The culture is changing, mm-hmm. and we don't know where things are going. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that has been a source of concern through the years as wars loomed and other difficulties, the Great Depression and so on. But there is something different now, and all you have to do is turn on the news today and you hear about disgusting and lewd behavior. You hear about husbands and wives cheating on one another and lying to their colleagues. I mean, you know what I'm referring to here, because there have been some examples of it recently where there has been depravity in the highest governmental offices. I mean, I think what we see every night on television, you almost don't want your children to watch what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, behavior that would have shocked our forebears is now all too common in this culture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time for concerted prayer for this nation, because nothing short of a revival will bring us back to our spiritual roots. And that's something that the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which my wife Shirley heads up, has dedicated itself to as an organization. And I think as today's broadcast unfolds, people are going to see the linkage between what we hear and what we just said.
Well, Doctor, what you're referring to is the keynote address given in D.C. by this year's honorary chairperson of the National Day of Prayer, Mrs. Johnny Erickson Tada.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, I love Johnny and her husband, Ken Tada. Mm-hmm. They both have a great heart for the Lord, and they also have a great heart for disabled people who are struggling. Their ministry, of course, is called Johnny and Friends, which is doing a great work.
You know, Dad, they were on my broadcast, Grounded, and I looked up the numbers. They're the number one most listened to program we've aired.
Not surprised.
And it's because it really speaks to people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, that says it all. And, you know, Johnny did a fabulous job there in Washington, D.C.
Well, let's get started, Doctor. We'll pick it up now as your wife introduced Johnny Erickson Tada to the audience. Early on, you'll hear Johnny reference Ginny Owens, who is an award-winning Christian musician who had just treated the audience to a special song she had written for the National Day of Prayer. Here now is Mrs. Shirley Dobson.
Johnny, thank you so much for serving as our honorary chairperson this year. You've done a marvelous job. Let's welcome Johnny.
Thank you so much, Shirley. What an honor it has been to serve as the honorary chair of the National Day of Prayer this year. It's been a joy to promote this incredible observance all across our nation. And just a quick word before I begin, I want you all to know that Ginny Owens, that last song, Ginny, you wrote specifically for the National Day of Prayer, and if I'm not incorrect, you just finished writing it a couple of nights ago, is that correct? She shakes her head, yes. Is that awesome or what? And when Shirley told me that the theme this year would be A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, wow, do we need to know that as never before, right, friends? How our God is strong, high, lifted up, a great tower of strength? Because these are such uncertain times of great turmoil, aren't they? Americans are anxious and on edge, with unrest sweeping the Middle East and North Africa, the escalating national debt, rising gas prices. Americans are nervous. Americans are restless. And what troubles me most is that Americans are uncharacteristically pessimistic. We could feel overwhelmed. We could feel like throwing in the towel. And if so, hey, you got the right lady talking to you this morning. 44 years of quadriplegia, and I deal daily with chronic pain, and a recent battle with breast cancer, I know something about uncertain times of great turmoil. I know firsthand, when it comes to facing hardship with a hopeful spirit, it is all a matter of perspective. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, just a stone's throw from Washington, D.C., and years ago, when I was on my feet, I played women's lacrosse at my high school. Our team was ranked pretty high in the county, and because I played as a forward on our women's lacrosse team, I seemed to always be in the thick of things. Collisions, spills, falling face down in the mud, but no matter how many times I took a hard fall, if I knew that we were ahead on the scoreboard, oh my goodness, I would jump up, brush myself off, get back in the game with drive and energy. After all, hey, we're 10 points ahead. Well, come on, let's go. We're winning. We can do this. Victory is within our reach. But if our opponents beat us up in a game where we were 10 points behind, oh, then it was a different story. I would drag myself back up on my feet, have a big huff, and get back into the game feeling discouraged, like, what's the use? We've already lost. We're never going to get back in it. We may as well throw in the towel. After all, we're going to lose. Pretty sad attitude. And sometimes I cultivated that attitude when we weren't even past the second quarter. See, it's all a matter of perspective. And the Bible says your attitude should be that as the same of Christ Jesus, who, now here comes the perspective, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Well, I tell you what, with an attitude like that of Jesus Christ, trials are not just assaults to be withstood. No, trials can be opportunities to be seized. I mean, you ask any American serviceman or woman fighting in Iraq or Afghanistan right now, and I've had a chance to ask them. Our ministry at Johnny and Friends holds what we call wounded warrior getaways for brave American servicemen and women who have returned home from Iraq or Afghanistan bearing wounds of conflict. And at the getaways that I've always participated in, and I've asked the soldiers their perspective, I tell you what, although wounded, they can't wait to get back in the battle. They would love to get back on the front lines. The soldier who is called to the front lines is stimulated at the chance to prove his skills. And you and I are soldiers in the same way. If you are tempted to back away from the front lines, but instead stand firm on your convictions, your influence grows in your community. And the result, not only do you change, but so does the culture around you. For instance, let me give you an example. Last year, around this time, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And I knew that perspective was going to be the key, okay? So the first thing I said to my husband, Ken, and to the president at our ministry at Johnny and Friends was, God must be up to something big here. I don't know what it is, but it's something big. And I kept that attitude and made that perspective known with every doctor, nurse, x-ray technician, oncologist, clinician, secretary, third opinion, second opinion, you name it, everyone was impacted by that attitude. My husband, Ken, and I guaranteed that it was. And that, friends, is influencing culture. And it's what I remind myself every morning when I get up, dealing with quadriplegia and a wheelchair and pain and cancer. Well, I tell you what, those are pretty hard hits. And I'll be quite honest, I've shared this with some of you, but 80% of the time when I get up in the morning, when I hear my girlfriend in the kitchen running water for coffee, do you know what I'm thinking of when I'm lying there, my eyes half open? Oh, Lord, I got to face this quadriplegia again. Somebody's going to come in here and give me a bed bath, range of motion, my exercise, do my toileting routines, get me dressed, sit me up in a wheelchair, brush my teeth, blow my nose, brush my hair. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't have any energy for this. I have no strength for this. I can't do this thing called quadriplegia today, Lord Jesus, but I can do all things through you as you strengthen me. I have no resources for the day, but you do. I have no energy, but you do. And I have no smile for the day, no smile for the day, but you do. Oh, Jesus, please give me your smile. I need it desperately. I need it for this woman who's going to come in here in a moment and minister to me. She could be having coffee at Starbucks with her girlfriends, and instead she's coming to get me up and ready for the day. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me your smile for her. We are winning. We can do this. Victory is within reach. Yes, the days are dangerous. And there are wars and rumors of wars crowding the nightly news. Friends, we may be facing a lot of opposition. And sin may seem to have the upper hand, but we cannot afford to grow weary or lose heart. The founding fathers of America gave us an amazing legacy of freedom and opportunity. We need to build on that legacy and recapture that culture and character that is distinctly and uniquely American. Others may whine about the triumphs of evil, but not followers of Jesus Christ. We know better. We learn from the way he endured opposition from sinful men. So, as we square off against those who would oppose our Judeo-Christian ethic, we take his attitude and we take his perspective. For our mighty fortress is our Almighty God, who says in Ephesians that he works out everything, everything, in conformity with the purpose of his will. God is on the throne. And this means that each test is an opportunity to be seized, and each need in our neighborhood is a chance to serve. America has been made great through the tireless service of its best citizens. And when followers of Jesus shake salt and shine light into the darkest corners of our country and our neighborhoods, we are calling our fellow citizens back to a nobler cause. I was reminded of this some years ago when I served under President Reagan and President Bush on the National Council on Disability. And during my tenure under President Reagan, our council was responsible for authoring the first draft of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It went through Congress, was changed, we took it back to Congress. And finally, I will never forget sitting with my other members of the National Council on Disability on the South Lawn of the White House on the day that President Bush signed that significant piece of civil rights legislation into law. All of us on the council were very excited. Except I noticed that Paul Hearn, our executive director, he didn't seem to be in much of a celebratory mood. We went back to the Hyatt Regency for a reception for our council after the signing ceremony, and he still persisted in this quiet mood. Finally, Paul said, "I'd like to propose a toast." And he had osteogenesis imperfecta. He used a little scooter wheelchair, wheeled up to the microphone, and he fingered his glass of champagne, and he said, "This is an important law in America. And it means that discriminatory policies against qualified people with disabilities seeking a job are going to be removed. That's great. And this law also means there'll be ramps in restaurants. And this law means that eventually there will be mechanical lifts on city buses. But this law is not going to change the bus driver's heart. This law is not going to change the heart of the employer. This law is not going to change the heart of the maitre d' in that restaurant." And he raised his glass and said, "Here's to changed hearts." And I thought, oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, that's our responsibility as Christians. That's the role we play in influencing character and culture in this country. You and I have the message that can speak to the heart of the bus driver. You and I have the message that can change the heart of the maitre d'. You and I have the gospel that can transform the heart of the employer. For we know that good will ultimately triumph. So we showcase as Christians, we showcase what that good will ultimately look like by rolling up our sleeves and influencing this character and culture, by praying for revival and interceding for our leaders, witnessing to the truth, fighting for justice, promoting the cause of life, adopting the orphan, strengthening families, helping the homeless, elderly, and disabled, feeding the poor, bridging racial differences, and raising the bar of common civility. So, friend, take a quick attitude check. If you find yourself pessimistic by the way things are in our country and in our world, then take a look at the scoreboard. Because it reads, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. So let's get up, brush off the dust, and get back in the game with drive and energy, because God is on his throne and Jesus is at his right hand. God bless you and thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me interrupt this applause to tell you what I just said to Johnny. We're going to have to leave, but I want to stand there for just a moment. I asked Johnny if she would sing. Why don't you sit down? Sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Would you do that?
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal.
Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving we'd be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that might be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. For though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
And our thanks to the always inspiring Mrs. Johnny Erickson Tada at this year's National Day of Prayer event, Doctor.
Ryan, you will remember that moment. It was not rehearsed. I didn't tell Johnny in advance I was going to ask her to do this. Yeah. She was not reading the lyrics. She was quoting them from memory, and she did it with such passion. I don't know if you can tell from the response, from the applause, but everybody was on their feet, and we were all deeply moved by what she had to say.
I can still hear the emotion in your voice right now.
Oh, it is still with me, and I appreciated so much Johnny doing this because, you know, she is a quadriplegic, and she doesn't have a lot of lung strength. I think that's probably why she quoted the last half of it rather than singing it, but wasn't her voice clear and with what I would consider to be perfect pitch. Mm-hmm. And she conveyed it with such passion and such conviction. And that was the highlight of the entire National Day of Prayer, what she did right there at the end, where she told that crowd and our listening audience today where her heart is, and it is with the personhood of Jesus Christ.
And, Doctor, she addressed that fear that we were talking about, the anxiety that we all have about where is our nation going, and she went right to the heart of it, that God is our fortress. I do not need to be afraid with Him at the helm.
You know, it's interesting. We didn't plan it this way. I don't think the National Day of Prayer planned it this way. But the theme of yesterday's program and this program and what happened in Washington, D.C., all focused on that anxiety and that apprehension that people are feeling. And when you put it all together, that's what people who came to speak addressed. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny knocked the ball out of the court there in the end with the lyrics for the theme song of the National Day of Prayer, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You know, when it comes to fear, those words that she just spoke from memory, the Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. There is our hope for the future, not in fear and apprehension and anxiety, but in the gospel of Jesus Christ and what we have already read. We've read the last chapter. We know we know who wins in the end.
Amen. Amen. You know, Dad, I remember that. That room was really electric. People just spontaneously rose to their feet in excitement, because it just reminds us further that we don't have to rely on ourselves, that through Him all things are held together, and a mighty fortress is our God.
And I cannot hear that message enough times, Doctor, in these struggles that we're facing. That is the bottom line. That's what I need to hear. A mighty fortress is my God.
And what an individual to sing it for us. Somebody who has gone through great difficulty. When Johnny was 17 years of age, she was injured in a diving accident. And from that time on, she has been a quadriplegic. She's been confined to a wheelchair. She's not been able to walk and moves her arms with great difficulty. And yet here she is encouraging the rest of us and building our faith. And I am grateful for it.
Doctor, there is something about corporate prayer, about gathering together as a nation under God, that Scripture even calls us to. That was an electric moment. There actually is another one coming up that you wanted to talk about.
There is, Luann, and it links directly to what we've been talking about. On August the 6th of this year, the nation will come together at Reliant Stadium in Houston, Texas, for a solemn gathering of prayer and fasting for our country. It's called The Response, and it was motivated by and initiated by the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who has asked that we fill that stadium with people who come to pray for our country. He wrote a letter to Americans, and this is what he said. Right now, America is in crisis. We have been besieged by financial debt and terrorism and a multitude of natural disasters. As a nation, we must come together and call upon Jesus. He mentioned that name to guide us through unprecedented struggles, and thank Him for the blessings of freedom we so richly enjoy. He goes on to talk about the scriptural reference for this coming together, and it's found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, which demands a historic response. Our time is gone. I can't read the rest of the letter, but that stadium, Reliant Stadium, seats 75,000 people, and we're hoping and praying that it will be filled with people who have come to pray.
That's right.
It is not a political event. It is not a conference. People are coming together to pray for this great nation. And I do hope that people will put that event on their calendar mm-hmm. for August the 6th.
Well, we'll have links at myfamilytalk.com to lots more information about that event, Doctor. I hope everyone listening will at least consider attending. Also at myfamilytalk.com, you can learn more about the National Day of Prayer Task Force, even some daily prayer tips. So, Ryan, we want to cover this entire mm-hmm. topic of corporate prayer for our nation.
Oh, absolutely. And if you'd like a CD copy of this two-day broadcast, you can always request it while you're at myfamilytalk.com. You can stream it there, or you can call us for it at 877-732-6825.
Thanks for joining us today. Have a fabulous weekend with your family, and we'll see you again on Monday for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.